All right, so this week we started a new book, the Book of Devarim. And it's also the Shabbos before Tisha B'Av, which is also known the Shabbos Chazon. We read in the Torah, we start, the first words is Chazon Yeshayahu ben Amoz, which is the vision of Yeshayahu. That's the prophet Yeshayahu, the son of Amoz. Yeah, this is the fifth book. The book of Devarim is the fifth book, the final book. And on this Shabbos, we're going to read a special Haftorah. That's the third of the three Haftorahs that talk about the punishment, and it's connected to the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. So this is called the Shabbos Chazon. Now we'll talk a little bit, talk about also the various different things. The Shabbos before Tisha B'Av, we read this particular Haftorah. It also has a big significance, as we'll see in a minute, by the great Rabbi Berdichev, who told something special about this Shabbos of Vision. It's also the first book. What's the difference between the first book and the other five books? There's a difference. There is also something about, we have three Beis HaMikdash. We're mourning the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. We lost two Beis HaMikdash, the first and the second, and we are praying for the third one, right? For the third one to come. So what is the number one, the number two, and then there's number three. The number one didn't last, number two didn't last. The number three is going to last. The first one was created by man, by people. The second one was created by people. But it says the third one is going to be created by Hashem. That's going to be an internal Beis HaMikdash. It's going to be a lasting Beis HaMikdash. The Zohar says, Im Hashem lo yivne bayis shov, Omlu Boinav Boy. If Hashem isn't going to build the house, in vain those builders are building it. So you basically say that the first and the second Beis HaMikdash were built by people. It was in vain. It was destroyed. But the third, what's the connection between the first, second, and the number three? Interesting. We also know we had three forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The first Beis HaMikdash corresponds to Abraham. The second Beis HaMikdash corresponds to Isaac. And the third Beis HaMikdash corresponds to Jacob. Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. That's the three Beis HaMikdash. Avram's Beis HaMikdash didn't last, so to speak. Yitzchak's Beis HaMikdash didn't last. And Yaakov's Beis HaMikdash is eternal. It's going to last for eternity. And we also have the holiday of Pesach, which corresponds to Avram. We have the holiday of Shavuos, which corresponds to Yitzchak. And then we have Sukkot. But in this case, over here, we're going to see that Tisha B'Av and the Shabbos Chazon, the third Beis HaMikdash, as we're going to talk about, corresponds to Yaakov, and this is the third Beis HaMikdash. We're going to see why Tisha B'Av follows Pesach and Shavuos. We have Pesach, Shavuos, and then we have Tisha B'Av.
How does this correspond to first one to Pesach?
What is the connection? We're going to discuss about it. This is all, I'm just giving you a little bit of what the discussion today, what we're going to discuss about today, and see how all these little different pieces, interesting pieces, Avraham Yitzchak V'Yaakov, Pesach Shavuos, and Hashem building it, building by man, the Chumash Devarim, the Chumash, the rest of the Torah, the difference that we'll see, how the Rebbe ties it all in together and makes it to one beautiful thing. But before we start that, I just want to say to you, there's a very powerful thing happening this Shabbos, this coming Shabbos, the Parshas Devarim, a very powerful thing. Now, a lot of times things happen in our lives, we don't know where it comes from. Why? Because we have a soul which is dressed up in our body, which means God sent down a soul which is above and he put it into our body so that we connect. A human being is made out of flesh and blood. And then God sends in a soul into our body and we become a living thing. But this soul has a branch, has a source which is higher, which doesn't come down to the body. That's a higher and a higher level. That soul on the higher level perceives certain things, and it's like a string. Something that goes up there sort of has a bell effect over here, subconsciously. Sometimes things happen in our soul that we don't even know about, we're not aware of. It happens somewhere on a spiritual subconscious level. We don't even know that it took place. But there's big things happening. You know, example, we find like in the Mishnah, in the Pirkei Avos, in various places we find that there is what's called a baskol. A baskol means the daughter of a voice, literally. Baskol is a heavenly communications. So it says that, like for example, there's a heavenly communication that says, oh, to me, Hashem says that I've destroyed my house and I send my children to exile. What does that mean? Who hears that? Who cares? Who hears? Who knows about it? So Hashem, it says that Hashem, there's a baskol that comes out that makes a sound like a pigeon. And it says, woe to my children that because of their sins I've destroyed my Beis HaMikdash, my home, it's my home, but because of them. Who hears that? Who's aware of that? We don't hear that. We can hear that, huh? But subconsciously our neshama hears that. But if our neshama hears that, what's the purpose? If we don't hear it, we don't know about it, it's subconsciously. What has it got to do with us? But because the higher level of our soul hears it, on a higher level, it sort of shakes and it comes down also to the soul that's in the body. So somehow, subconsciously, we get a call. Why sometimes we feel energized, we feel that we have an arousal, we have an esorus, we have an arousal that we want to do something good, we want to... Where did it come from? Where did that all of a sudden? We didn't prepare ourselves. Oh, that comes from that subconscious of our neshama, our soul above, which hears the voices, and it sort of starts shaking, and it rings, and a bell from there rings, so that it also comes down to our souls over here below. Go ahead.
This highest soul.
Yes.
One for every souls on the.
So. At a certain level of soul, it's like a tree. Yes, there could be one branch, and from the branch could be many different branches at some point. But there is a soul of our particular soul, which also has above. And then above it, it comes from a more general soul. But we also have our individual soul before it comes down into our body and remains above us. It's in a higher level. It doesn't come down into the body. And that soul experiences, it's directly connected to us as well. Sometimes there is the general soul, which all souls come for, also shakes, you know, when the tree shakes, everything underneath shakes, everything gets shaken. So sometimes the higher level shakes, the lower level shakes. But we do have a particular soul of ours, which is above us as well. Yes. Now, here we come to the Shabbos Chazon, and it's very amazing how the Hasidic interpretation always takes the simple and it shows you a deeper level and it shows you a deeper layer. And in a sense, it just turns things, twists things around. Like you think things are negative. It's bad for you. It's something negative is happening. But you look a little deeper and you peel some of the layers and you see, no, there's something positive over here. Something very deep and something very meaningful. When ordinary person, most people, and until the time we found out about this, Shabbos Chazon, the Shabbos of Chazon was just connected to the Haftorah, the special reading of the Haftorah that we're going to read this Shabbos. And in that Haftorah, the Chazon means the vision of Yeshayahu, which was a negative vision, talks about the destruction of Israel, the Beis HaMikdash, talks about the sins of the Jewish people. So Chazon means a vision of negativity. But the Reb Hillel Paritcher, one of the great Chabad Chasidim of Yer, of the Alter Rebbe, the Middle Rebbe from the older generation, he revealed, brought down by the Tzemach Tzedek, he revealed to us something very, very interesting. He says Shabbos Chazon is actually a Shabbos of vision. We see. What is it that we see? Every Jew has an opportunity, and every Jew is shown the third Beis HaMikdash. The third Beis HaMikdash, that is the future. Now, it's not shown very close up, it's shown from a distance, because we haven't merited yet, but we get to see the third Beis HaMikdash. What does it do for us that it was it? Seeing the third Beis HaMikdash, like I said before, something above you sees it. We don't see it over here, maybe, but something your soul sees, the third Beis HaMikdash. That seeing of the third Beis HaMikdash impresses your soul above to impress on your soul below to somehow help you return to Hashem, to merit and to change your ways so that Hashem will build us and actually bring us the Beis HaMikdash. It all happens on Shabbos Chazon. Here is what he said. I just want to quote to you from the actual words of the statement. So he brings like this. He says, it can be comparable to a father who sowed for his child a very expensive garment. And he gave it to the child. And the child took the garment and they ripped it to pieces. So the father goes ahead and makes him a second garment. But the child went and ripped the second garment as well. So now the father sewed a third garment. But he didn't give it to him to put on. But occasionally, on special times, he shows the child that garment. And he tells him that when he will go in the correct path, he will give it to him to wear. And this way, the father trains him to go in the correct path until the child, it becomes like his nature. And then the father finally gives him the garment to his child that he should put it on. What is it? This is the week. This is Shabbos Chazon. Hashem shows us the third Beis HaMikdash. He shows us the third Beis HaMikdash. There's a leak over there. Okay, so here you can see what Shabbos Chazon is all about. That it's a Shabbos that we envision and our soul sees the third Beis Hamikdash. But there's two very powerful points that we can take from here. A, who is the one that sees it? Everyone. What is the purpose of seeing this? Is to better your ways. So essentially what we're saying over here is that it's not only tzaddikim or great people that hear this, but this is by every person, neshama hears it, and it causes them to change their ways. You see, generally we know that in order to be successful, you gotta work hard. In anything you do, whether you study Torah, you serve God, and for that matter, anything in life, we have to work hard in order to be successful. And in order to have a lasting difference, if you work at it, if you take, you study something, and you take the time, you work in it, you put an effort, then the material will stick in your head and you'll remember it for a long time. But if somebody just gives it to you and you don't work at it, easy comes, easy goes. You don't really own it that much. It doesn't stick to you. In order to stick to you, you have to put in the effort. So normally we say, these announcements that come from above, they're not lasting. They're good for a while. You get the rabbi gives a good speech and he gets you motivated, gets you excited and ready to do good. You go, you hear a motivational speaker, tells you you should lose weight. You hear what he speaks, you're all excited. And you're going to do it, but guess what? The speech goes away, other things,
chocolate cake comes out.
And that's it. But if you work at it, you come from within, and you do within, so then you change yourself around, so then it's a lasting thing. So usually these announcements that just come from above, that you didn't work for, you didn't prepare yourself, you didn't change yourself, you're just, God is giving your soul something. If you catch that moment and you turn it into action, yes, you can hold on to that. But if you don't immediately turn that into action, it's going to dissipate. It's going to fly away. It's not going to last. It's going to go. You're not going to get anything. But you see, it's different with this that we're talking about now. What's different is with the Shabbos Chazon. Because over here we're saying, this actually changes your life. It says, every time that Hashem shows it to you, which is every Shabbos Chazon that we see, or maybe there's other times as well. And the other point over here is very important, is the person doesn't even know what he's seeing. His neshama is seeing it. And guess what? Before the Bardichev, a Rebbe told it to us. So we didn't see it, we also saw it. We just didn't know what we were seeing. You know, we didn't know about it. The fact that we learn about it now, we know about it, that helps us internalize it more, helps us work more through it so that it should have more impact on us. Because as we're standing closer to the times of Mashiach, we need more help, we have to learn about it. So once it's revealed to us also in our conscious that there's something going on in the subconscious, it helps us bring it into fruition, into actual our lives. But the same thing went on before we had a nut. I was giving once a class, and there was a lot of people who were totally new to Judaism. They had no exposure. And I started talking about a neshama, about a soul, that a Jew has a soul. And the people said, we didn't know that. They didn't teach us that we have a soul. We didn't know that we have a soul. We just know. I mean, there was the people that came from the former Soviet Union. We only knew that we were Jewish so that the anti-Semites could have who to pick on. But we didn't know that we have a soul, that we have a special connection, that there's something unique about us. That's something which is totally, totally new. It doesn't mean just because they didn't know about it, it didn't mean that they didn't have the soul. They had the soul. Mm-hmm. It was there. But they didn't know about it. They didn't weren't aware of it. That soul did what it needed to do, but it didn't. But once they found out, so then you can sort of take that knowledge that you know and help that soul bring it into more, internalize it, and help you sort of change yourself to become closer to Hashem, closer to God. Same thing is with the Shabbos Chazon. It happened even before the Bar Ditchever Rebbe, and before we have every Shabbos was Chazon. We didn't know about it, but now that we know, we can internalize this. But his unique thing over here is that it's not like all the other announcements, which just come and go quickly. This sort of has, based on the teaching of the Bar Ditchever, it actually has a lasting impact on us. It can change our lives around this, seeing this third Beis HaMikdash. So what is it about the third Beis HaMikdash? So just to briefly finish it up over here. So the Rebbe brings down that what is the Beis HaMikdash? We understand the first, second, and the third Beis HaMikdash. What is the Beis HaMikdash? The Beis HaMikdash is the place where God's presence comes into the world. It's basically fusing. It's basically fusing the spiritual with the physical. When Hashem comes down and makes Shechina, the Beis HaMikdash, Shechanti B'Soichem, He rests here, is putting together, bringing together the spiritual and the physical. Now, how do we bring together the physical and the spiritual? There is the first Beis HaMikdash. The main thing of the first Beis HaMikdash was to bring down the spiritual down over here. That is like the trait of Avraham, which was like Chesed. To give us godliness, to give us holiness. We got the Beis HaMikdash. But yet, the people were like tzaddikim. It was, they're righteous. But it didn't penetrate, it didn't come from within them, it didn't come from within the people. It came from above. So the connection, the fusion, the Shekhinah came from above to us. And therefore, it actually didn't last so much because it was destroyed. Because since it didn't connect from the people, from the low, it didn't connect from the world, but it came down to Hashem, so it was there for a while, and then it got lost. What happens with the Beis HaMikdash Sheni, with the second Beis HaMikdash? That corresponds already to Yitzchak. Over there, the Jews were already in the level of a Baal Teshuvah. They repented because they've lost the first Beis HaMikdash. There was a Churban, there was a destruction, and then it was rebuilt. It was rebuilt to them because they did Teshuvah. Teshuvah means refinement from the level below. That's like Yitzchak. That's sort of bringing the lower level, refining yourself and raising yourself up to the higher level. That becomes the level of Yitzchak, or the second basement, level of Sheni. And then we have the level of Yaakov. Yaakov is the combination. He's called Tiferes, the beauty. The combination of Chesed and Gevurah, the number three, which becomes a new entity when you combine one and two. If you put two colors together, you get a third color. You get a beautiful color. You get a beautiful color from the two together. When you put the Chesed and the Gevurah together, you combine them, that means that you bring the godliness into the world so that the world itself should become eternal with the godliness. The third Beis HaMikdash corresponds to Yaakov. Yaakov is considered the measure of truth, and he's considered the measure that goes from one extreme to the other extreme, which means that it goes through, it starts from the highest level and it goes all the way through to the lowest level. So that within the lowest level, within the world, there would be eternity. Because normally, the physical world is a limited world. But the Beis HaMikdash will be eternal. That means that within the physical world, it will be sensed the higher level. Now this is a little bit, on the Hasidic terms, gets a little bit deep, more than we can spend over here. But just sufficient to say that the first and the second Beis HaMikdash were only temporarily, because it was a manifestation of a level of Hashem in the Beis HaMikdash, which isn't the essence of Hashem. But the essence of Hashem comes down in the third Beis HaMikdash. And that's why the preparation for the third Beis HaMikdash, it's necessary for it to also have the people sort of permanently change their ways. So that's why the announcement, or in this case, the vision of the third Beis HaMikdash is something which is going to impact that the people in of themselves will actually permanently change, so that they will eventually merit the Beis HaMikdash, which will be the permanence and the continuous of the divine presence in the world, which also goes with along with the idea. Pesach was Yitzias Mitzrayim. We said Avram Avinu, which means Hashem, the Jews were in Egypt, and Hashem just took them out. Hashem took out the Jews from Egypt. The Jews were slaves. Hashem just took them out. So that came from above. After that, the Jews counted for 7 weeks, Shavuos, which was what they worked with themselves. So once you have Pesach and Shavuos, then you get ready for Shabbos Chazon, for the third Beis HaMikdash. Then you get ready for eternity when you combine them together. The first four books, there's a difference between the first four books and the fifth book. The four books Moshe Rabbeinu was relating as an agent. He wasn't saying it. It's not, he wasn't there. Moshe Rabbeinu is like a third party speaking. What does Moshe Rabbeinu say? Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, Hashem speaks to Moshe saying. It doesn't say Hashem spoke to me. Moshe Rabbeinu was writing in the third person. He says, God spoke to Moshe saying, or speak to the sons of Israel. That's the first four books of the Torah, is written that way. What it means is, essentially, that even Moshe Rabbeinu is not there in the Torah, because Moshe Rabbeinu is just giving over what the Torah says to the Jewish people, but he is not in the Torah himself. He's not talking about himself. He's just saying over what Hashem said to the Bnei Israel. In the fifth section, in Devarim, over there we start off Moshe Rabbeinu is saying. Moshe Rabbeinu is talking. Moshe Rabbeinu is speaking all the words. Moshe Rabbeinu says, and he's actually giving the people Musar. He's giving them rebuke so they can do tshuva. Because what is that? Here we're talking already about a level of Torah which is grasped by Moshe Rabbeinu, that Moshe Rabbeinu is part of that Torah. He's not saying Hashem is saying, but he's saying, I told you at that time, and I commanded you. He's speaking about himself, which means it's already a level in which Moshe Rabbeinu, in the refinement, is involved in it. It's not just Hashem, which is higher, which is like Pesach, but this is already like the whole Matan Torah, the time of Matan Torah, is to connect and refine and bring up the lower level up to the higher level. And that's all necessary before we talk about the third Beis HaMikdash. Just to sum it up, and you know, I know this is a little bit shorthand, but there is a tremendous, tremendous vision and energy and support that we get from this Shabbos. And because we know that, and we're conscious about that, because now we do know what the Bar Yochev Rebbe said. So that's why we should actually take the time and the energy and the effort to really try to grab hold of that
so that it would actually impact our lives and help us around to make changes, and that eventually we will actually merit to come to the third Beis HaMikdash, because this is the purpose of all this. And while maybe we don't see it with our eyes, but we know now that it is there, it's important to reflect. But the bottom line is that we need to have complete faith and trust in Hashem that He will build us the Beis HaMikdash again, that He will make us the eternal Beis HaMikdash, and it will be built by Hashem, which would therefore be a lasting and a permanent Beis HaMikdash. And we hope that this will happen very soon in our days, so that we won't have to wait that much longer.